the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Yeah. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13.
I just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Fellow Israelites of Thessalonica, we are definitely in a predicament. To state it differently, we are in trouble, and are very likely to be in deeper trouble unless we do something about the situation immediately. That is why I asked each of you to attend this conference. We must work in harmony, pulling together if we are to accomplish that which must be accomplished. If there be any here who object to a little stretching of the truth or working with the lewd and baser men in accomplishing our purpose, please walk out of here right now. We then are agreed that the result justifies the means, whatever it may be.
Well, I don't like all this fancy talk. I gotta get back to the market and pick up a penny here and there out of the pouches of careless women.
We have got to get rid of those two preachers, Paul and Silas.
Them? They come to the market and talk. I don't pay them no attention. They ain't got pouches or coins either. I can't make nothing from them.
Paul is an eloquent speaker. He's had experience. He convinces people almost against their will. He draws large crowds, and many of them believe and follow him.
You're just jealous, because he can talk better than you.
I may be jealous. I'm human. The point is, he is taking away many members of the synagogue.
Oh, now I get it. You're losing influence and money. Important money and power. For everyone who leaves your synagogue and goes over to the church of these men, you lose that much power and money.
Well, if we don't get down to business, this meeting will have
to... Now, look. If you don't want me here, and if I can't say what I want to say, I'll just get up and go. And take these other lewd fellows, as you call them, with me. We ain't good enough for you anyway. The only time you'll even look at us is when you want some dirty work done.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do need your help.
It'll cost you.
Whatever you say.
Well, that's better. Now, get down to business. Every minute I spend here, I lose the chance to relieve some careless lady of her pouch.
Well, to get to the point, Paul and Silas must go, dead or alive, preferably dead.
Well, why don't you just take them to the rulers of the city?
Well, it happens that right now we Israelites aren't on very good terms with the Roman authorities.
Yeah, it was over that little matter of an insurrection in Rome, huh?
My plan, if it works, will get us back into the good graces of the Romans and get rid of Paul and Silas, too. Do you think that you, with the help of your friends, can raise a mob and get them in a frenzy of excitement so they'll do just about anything?
Get a mob excited? Easy. Over what, though?
Paul and Silas preach that the real king isn't Caesar, but a fellow called Jesus.
Now, is this the lie you spoke about?
No, this is true, in part at least. Paul does preach that Jesus is above all kings, that he is king of kings.
This is gonna be easy. With that sort of basis to go on, a mob won't give these two preachers a chance. They'll take them apart with their bare hands.
Oh, get going then, and good luck.
Good luck?
Open this door, we'll knock it down. Open up, I say.
Are you the traitor Paul or Silas?
Oh, I'm Jason. I live here.
Do Paul and Silas live here, too?
Well, they stay here.
Are they in?
No, sir.
Well, we'll see for ourselves. You watch Jason, see that he doesn't escape. You four come with me. We'll search this place from top to bottom. Come on. Here are several more men. Come on and get them. Are any of you Paul or Silas?
No, sir.
Well, where are they?
They are not here.
We'll look for them ourselves. Ruler, sir, These men are causing a lot of trouble in our beautiful and quiet city. They're not the leaders. We can't find them. But they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, long live Caesar, by saying that there's another king, one named Jesus.
Can you prove this charge?
Prove it? No. The leaders of the Israelite synagogue told us, and they wouldn't lie, so it must be true.
As these men are not the leaders, and nothing can be proved, I sentence them to securing a bond to assure the keeping of peace.
We don't like you to leave, but in view of the hatred of the non-believers, it is best. Farewell, and God bless you both.
May God's peace and blessing dwell with you and the
brethren. Farewell, all of you.
Paul and Silas, coming to Berea, entered into the synagogue and preached Jesus and him crucified. And many believed and were baptized.
I know where Paul and Silas are.
Well, am I supposed to leap and holler for joy?
I want you to go to Berea and raise another mob. Stir them up into mob hysteria, just as you did here.
No, thank you. I can make more picking pouches here at the market.
Is that all you ever think about? Money?
No more than you do. And you're supposed to be an example for good.
Well, I guess I'll have to go to Berea myself.
Paul, sir, the rulers of the synagogue at Thessalonica are here, trying to stir up the people against you, as they did there. The brethren think it best you leave, while Silas and I remain here.
All right.
Where will you be going, sir?
Athens, I guess. It's a large city, the metropolis of heathendom. There is much intelligence and culture there. It should be a ripe field for the harvest of souls.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Meeting to begin. Welcome to the Kids Bible Club.
Hey, Pastor Perez, can I ask you a question?
Sure, Hannah. What's on your mind?
Boys.
Ooh.
Oh, stop it. I don't mean like that. Does the Bible say anything about why boys are so silly, loud, and mean?
Hey, I'm not mean.
What makes you think I'm talking about you, Sam?
Oh, well, I thought you were going to say something about what happened today at school when someone put a rubber snake in your notebook.
How'd you know about that?
People talk.
You see, Pastor Perez, boys are always doing dumb things that make me mad. I opened my notebook and that snake scared me half to death. Does the Bible say anything about that?
There is a text in Luke chapter 6 that says we should love our enemies.
Hey, I'm no enemy.
And there's one in 2 Corinthians where God says, if you forgive anyone, I also forgive him.
It was just a little rubber snake.
So I'm supposed to forgive and love silly boys who put snakes in my notebook?
As Christ forgives and loves us, yes.
You're not going to hug me, are you?
No, Sam. I'm going to love you, even though you're totally insane. And I'm going to forgive you so that Jesus can forgive you too. But if you ever put another rubber snake in my notebook, I am going to
what?
Hug you!
Ah! Alrighty then, I think we can move on with our meeting.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 say, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well."
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 2. Don't Let Anyone See. Maria hurried down the stairs so fast she almost knocked her sister down. Yo-Yo held up her hand. Maria! Maria didn't wait to listen. She ignored Yo-Yo and went on down the stairs. Mom was just finishing dusting when Dad came into the living room, followed by Chris. "Is there anything we can do to help?" Mr. Vargas asked. "You can vacuum," Mrs. Vargas suggested. "And Chris can take out the garbage. After he cleans his room," she added. "Aw, Mom," Chris moaned. Maria wanted to say something quickly to Mom, but if she did, Dad would wonder what the secret was. She tried to look busy and started straightening up the living room, even though she had already straightened it up while Dad and Chris and Yo-Yo were at the grocery store. "So, Sunday is the big day," Dad said while unwrapping the cord from the vacuum cleaner to plug it in. "Will Dad think of the dress?" Maria wondered. "How much do Dads know about weddings? Will he ask if the dress has arrived yet?" Maria watched her dad push the knob that unlatched the handle on the vacuum cleaner with his foot. She watched him switch the vacuum cleaner on and smiled as the living room filled with noise. Now she could talk to her mom. But as she opened her mouth to speak, Maria glanced up. Oh, no, she thought. Yo-Yo was standing at the top of the stairs with a brown box in her hands. Maria recognized the box. It was the same box she had just hidden under her bed. Maria whipped around and ran toward the stairs, but then the vacuum quit. Before she knew what was happening, she lost her balance and started falling. Something jerked at her leg and then let go, and she hit the floor with a kerthump. She turned her head just in time to see her dad duck as an ugly black thing with brass-colored teeth sailed through the air above his head. It looked like a snake with a long, skinny body. Dad ducked, then looked at Maria. "Are you okay?" he asked. Maria felt her face turn red. "Yes, I guess so," she said as she untangled her feet. "Why were you running?" Dad asked. "You know it's not smart to run in the house." "I know," Maria said. She hung her head. "I'm sorry." Dad helped her up. She noticed Yo-Yo was sitting on the top step looking at her, and Chris was standing behind Yo-Yo. "Now, what was so important?" Dad asked. Maria closed her eyes. "Now everyone will know about the dress. I wish I could hide." She took a deep breath and opened her eyes. "The dress I'm supposed to wear at Angelina's wedding came today." "It did?" Dad looked surprised. "Why didn't you tell us?" Maria looked at her mom. She looked up at Yo-Yo and Chris. Then she sighed. "Because I didn't want you to see it. It's not long enough. I won't look like the other bridesmaids in their long flowing dresses. I'll look like I don't even belong at the wedding." Dad sat down in his chair. He rubbed his chin thoughtfully before looking over at Mom. "There's nothing we can do?" he asked. "I'm afraid not," Mom answered. "The wedding is on Sunday, and that isn't enough time to send for another dress. There must have been a mix-up when we ordered all the dresses." Dad looked back at Maria. "What were you going to do?" "Why keep it a secret?" Maria shrugged. "I guess I don't know what I was going to do. I thought I would come up with a plan later." "The dress is very pretty," Maria heard her mom say. "I doubt anyone will notice anything wrong. I was a bridesmaid once when I was in college. It was a very big wedding. We all got the same material and the same pattern so we could make our own dresses. The material was very shiny on one side and dull on the other. Everyone but me knew which was the outside. My mom and I made my dress so the shiny side was on the outside. When I got to the wedding, I saw that I was the only one whose dress was shiny." "Didn't you feel funny being up front and being different?" Maria asked. "Yes, I felt very funny. I almost decided not to be a bridesmaid at the wedding, but I went ahead with it anyway. Nobody seemed to care, and it was a beautiful wedding. Many people thought my dress was the most beautiful." "Probably because you are beautiful," Maria said. Mrs. Vargas beamed happily. "Why, thank you, Maria." Maria watched Dad take her mother's hand. "I agree with that," he said. That seemed to make her mother even happier. But Maria wasn't. "Maybe if I get sick," she thought, "I won't have to be a junior bridesmaid at the wedding." But she knew that wouldn't work either. "More than anything, I want to go to the wedding. I just have to find a way to get around wearing that dress. What am I going to do?" When Maria went to her room, Yo-Yo was already there sitting on the bed with a box in her lap. She didn't look up, and Maria didn't say anything to her. She ignored Yo-Yo as she picked up her clothes and dusted the shelves in her room. "Why won't you talk to me?" Yo-Yo finally asked. Maria stopped. She put her hands on her hips and stared at Yo-Yo. "I don't want to talk to you because you were nosing around and found that dress. Then you got it out. Now everyone knows that it's not the same as the other bridesmaids' dresses and that I'm going to look silly standing up in front of everyone at the wedding." Maria stopped and took a deep breath. "But I lost my bouncy ball," Yo-Yo said. Maria got a painful look on her face. "What?" "I lost my bouncy ball. That's how I found your dress. I didn't mean to. I was just looking for my bouncy ball." Tears came to Yo-Yo's eyes. She looked up at Maria. "I'm sorry." "Oh, Yo-Yo," Maria said. She sat down on the bed and hugged her little sister. "I'm sorry for getting mad at you. I know you didn't mean to spoil anything. The wedding is already spoiled anyway." "Why is it spoiled?" Yo-Yo asked. "Because nothing is going right. I think a wedding should go perfectly." "Why?" Maria rolled her eyes toward the ceiling. How could she explain it to Yo-Yo? "Well, if a wedding goes perfectly and the bride is beautiful and the groom is handsome, then the marriage will probably last forever." Yo-Yo looked confused. Then she got a big smile. "Does that mean Mommy and Daddy were beautiful and their wedding was perfect?" Maria shrugged. She hadn't ever actually thought about Mom and Dad having a wedding, too, although Mom had shown her pictures from their wedding. But Yo-Yo must be right. Yes, Yo-Yo, I guess Mom and Dad had a perfect wedding, Maria said. Maybe Angie shouldn't get married, Yo-Yo said. She stuck her legs out straight and studied why one sock was all the way up and the other sock was drooping down around her ankle. Why not, Maria asked. You said it was spoiled, don't you remember? I guess I did say that. What are you doing, Yo-Yo? Looking at my socks. One is higher than the other. Pull the other one up, then, Maria suggested. But I don't want them up. I like the sock that's down, Yo-Yo said. Then put the other sock down, too, Maria said in exasperation. But then she looked at Yo-Yo's curls and her little nose that had a little turn-up at the end of it and her chubby cheeks. I meant the wedding is spoiled for me, Yo-Yo, not Angie, she said more softly. Yo-Yo looked up at Maria. You're so smart, Maria, she said. I'm glad you're my sister. Suddenly, Maria got an idea. I know, Yo-Yo. Why don't we say some vows between us, sort of like people do when they get married? This will be for sisters only, okay? Okay. What do we do? What are vows? Slow down, Yo-Yo. Maria put a finger to her lips. Shh. She went over and closed their bedroom door. Yo-Yo thought very hard. Why did you close the door? So Chris won't hear us. He'll just think it's weird because he's a boy.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.